On yesterday's show, I played a clip of Donald Trump. You know who this guy is? On the Entertainment Tonight bus, when he was running for president, Donald Trump was. Billy Bush was the Entertainment Tonight host who was on the bus with him, just laughing at everything Donald said, like some type of lackey puppet. Donald talked about grabbing women's pussies. That is offensive, to go to somebody's house and take their cat away from them. Seriously, it's offensive to everybody and should be. Here's what I want you to do. If you're a Donald Trump supporter and you think the guy is wonderful and the sun shines out of his ass, I'm going to play this, just this tiny clip one more time, then I'm going to ask you to do something with this clip. Listen to this, please.
And when you're a star, they let you do it. You can do anything.
Whatever you want.
Grab them by the pussy. Do anything.
All right. I want you to take that clip, and I want you tonight when you get home to get your young daughter, your five-year-old daughter, or whatever age she is, to be honest with you, take her in a room with you and play her that clip, and then laugh with Billy Bush in the background as to how funny and wonderful that guy is and the fact that you support him and call him your president. Play that in front of your daughter, preferably your young daughter. It's more impactful. Do that, will you? And then tell me how you feel about doing that.
And when you're a star, they let you do it. You can do anything.
Whatever you want.
Grab them by the pussy. Do anything.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. Good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Our standards have gone in the toilet. We don't even flush him down the toilet. We just let him sit there and float around. Our standards are shot. We let this guy become president. Now, I understand that the person he was running against, Hillary Clinton, had some problems, both personality-wise, background-wise, and email-wise. Apparently, she had problems with her emails. Things were spelled incorrectly. I don't know what the problem was. Caused a whole big deal. So some people said, as I've said on the show many times, they said to themselves, all right, it's Donald Trump. He's disgusting. He's the biggest jerk I've ever met in my life. But apparently, he's a very successful businessman, and we could have a wonderful economy with a businessman at the helm, even though he has no experience. He is a mafia boss, so maybe it'll work. And then the phrase was muttered, what have we got to lose? Well, over this 3-year period, it's been proven to us what we have to lose. Our dignity, our standing in the world, and our democracy. So that was a bad choice. If you still, to this day, support this man, then we have a problem, because all of the other stuff went away. Now we've got the hard, raw facts that he's a liar, a horrible person, mentally ill, and kind of dangerous, and ruining everything. So, play that little clip for your little daughter tonight, will you please? And tell her, by the way, that's the role model. All right, that's enough. Hey, welcome to the program. I am Ron Van Dam. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. I don't know if it's clear how I feel about Trump. I think it's pretty clear. Here's something that bothers me immensely about this man. And it's someday it's going to come out, and I wish it would be today. As you know, the state of New York is trying to get a hold of Donald Trump's tax returns because they think there's a lot of crap in there. And there is. There's all the hush money to this porno star. There's the lying about it, the blatant lying about it. There's the Mueller report, which didn't exonerate Trump. It just said, I can't do anything. I can only tell you what we found, that everybody that Trump hired campaign-wise is now in jail. I mean, I can tell you the 10 things that he used, that he did obstruction, but I can't do anything about it, because you can't indict the president, and that's not what I was charged to do. I was just charged to look at the facts about the Russian thing, and stuff came up, and I reported to you, and that's all I was charged to do. Despite all of this. So here's my problem with the Trump guy. I believe, and it's not a conspiracy theory, it's just my thoughts. I don't know if it's true or not, but it certainly looks like Donald Trump has got something to hide. For the life of him, he will not let anybody see his tax returns at all. Now, if someone wanted to see my tax returns, the IRS would turn it over in a split second. But for some reason, they won't do this with Donald Trump. Even when the courts ask for it, Trump says no. Trump says this is personal stuff. You're the freaking president. You're supposed to be totally transparent. You are on everything else. You show how stupid you are. But for some reason, man, you won't let people see your tax returns. The only explanation... The only explanation is that if they were released, people who know him would say, wait a minute, this isn't right. I truly believe, and this is not a theory, it's something I believe. I truly believe that he gets his money laundered and not at a dry cleaner's. I think he has a relationship with Russia. This is what's causing this whole thing. It has nothing to do with prostitutes peeing on his face in a hotel room in Kiev. It has nothing to do with that. Not that that didn't happen, but that has nothing to do with it. I believe that Trump and Trump Jr. Actually launder money through Russia. And that can be very easily seen if just investigated a bit into Donald Trump's tax returns, like what happened to all this money. I truly believe that's the case. Something weird is happening with Donald's money that he's hiding. That's A. There's a B. I believe that if Donald Trump's tax returns were revealed, you would find out that Donald Trump is actually a liar. He doesn't have as much money as he says he does. He's declared bankruptcy numerous times, and yet still had plenty of money. There's a lot going on. His foundations, his charitable organizations, his businesses, there is something on the books we call cooking the books. Now, I don't know that that's a fact or not, but why is Donald just not even discussing this? Don't you ever reveal my money to the public, says Donald. But Don, you're the president of the United States. I mean, I didn't do that. Other people did. You're the president of the United States. You won't be honest about your finances. You must be hiding something. It's not like you were running for president and said, no, I choose not to show my taxes. It's not like you just became president. Well, I'll show my taxes someday. I'm really busy right now. This is over 3 years into it, Don. And you're holding on to this near and dear. So if your taxes were released, something horrible, horrible would be discovered. That's the only explanation, Don, There is no other explanation. Every single freaking president since I had my last orgasm has revealed their tax returns. Every single one of them, going back to Jesus. You didn't know that, did you? When Jesus was leading people through the desert, Moses did the same thing. They revealed their tax returns because people were following them and they had to be transparent about it. By the way, if you walk through the desert wearing sandals, I have a whole new respect for you. Because I couldn't do that. Donald, you're hiding something big time. Or you're hiding a lot of stuff big time that you don't want people to know about. As soon as you mention money about Donald, he gets crazy, man. His face turns oranger. Yet he gloats about how much money he has, how rich he is. Yet there's something going on under there. He has no concept. Donald actually feels that once you're the president, or once you are Donald Trump, you are all-powerful, all-seeing, all-knowing. And that everybody must kiss your ring, or they must be beheaded. That's exactly what's happening. He's verbally beheading people that disagree with him. This is a president of a United States of an America? What? I got to give you one thing, Don. I got to give you one thing and one thing only. The economy, first of all, yeah, it's good, right? If you have large amounts of money in the stock market, most Americans don't. If you do, I guess, yeah, you're ass kissable. But I really feel, Donald, that the economy was getting better way before you took office. And when you did take office, it exploded because everybody thought you were this great financial wizard, so they felt very comfortable with having you at the helm. But Don, that's about it. Then you manipulated everything to keep the economy going well, like dropping interest rates almost below zero. Like you're buying a mattress from a furniture store. 0% interest for 3 years. I mean, Don, seriously, man. I mean, I see through it. Don is not the financial wizard that you thought he was. When things go bad for Don, he declares bankruptcy and doesn't pay his vendors and will do anything he can to get out of lawsuits, like settle all of them for large amounts of money so he doesn't get sued and lost in court. He, outside of court, settles everything. See, you know all this stuff, and yet for some reason you continue to load up on the chapstick to kiss this guy's ass. That's a mafia thing. We don't want to cross him. Oh, no, we don't want to cross. He'll destroy us if we cross him. What happened to America? What happened to him representing the country as opposed to representing himself only? Now, I know that everything's fallen on deaf ears. If you support Donald Trump, you will support Donald Trump, even if he shoots somebody in the middle of Manhattan, which he probably did. I don't know. I'm not sure. They would support him. They would say, yeah, the guy he shot deserved it anyway. I mean, that's probably what they would say. And if Mitch McConnell were in charge of the courtroom, Mitch wouldn't even bring it to trial. Mitch McConnell, who was the head of the Senate, the speaker of the Senate, so to speak, he won't let anything go to the floor that he doesn't like to be voted on. I mean, this is it's not a monarchy, it's like a dictatorship. I know some of you disagree with me. Those that agree with me are absolutely loving this. There aren't many people that are undecided about Donald Trump. And I think that when we hit November in 2020, I think you'll see those numbers accordingly. In any event, you're probably getting sick of this. All I'm saying is there's a lot of underworld hidden stuff about Donald Trump, the president of these United States. with the impeachment hearings, if you listen carefully or listen at all, which you should do, obviously, you will find that the daily methods of this Trump guy are not what you want running this country. They are underhanded, shifty, delusional, manipulative. I don't know if you want that in a president. I kind of don't. All right, that's enough. I've talked too much. I'm sorry. Those of you that don't like me talking politics and just being funny all the time, I apologize to you. All I want for Christmas is for this guy to be impeached.
Are you the sort of person who feels vicarious excitement at the prospect of a robust discount? Then you need to pay us a visit at Jerome Cherrington's Emporium of Preposterous Values. Each and every day, our standard pricing model is an absolute affront to common retailing practices and could indeed be seen as an indication of mental instability. Consider, if you will, a 24-pack of your favorite coffee pods, if one happens to drink such a thing, a mere $2.99. Is that sensible in the least? No, I tell you, it is not. And what of this? Common t-shirts with witty sayings upon them, suitable for men, women, and children, depending upon how you've raised them, 10 for $6. This is uncanny pricing that quite simply flies in the face of all possible reason, and the only explanation for this behavior on my part is that I am not sane. Frankly, do not take my word for it. Instead, find your way here to Jerome Cherrington's Emporium of Preposterous Values, just off the motorway and beyond the roundabout, where our everyday retailing decisions are simply unnatural.
By the way, that was not real. Okay. Welcome back to the program. Thanks for joining me. You can find this show all over the freaking place. We're on iHeartRadio now, and iTunes, and TuneIn Radio, and Radio Public, and YouTube every day, and Podbean Network, and SoundCloud, and Apple Podcasts, and Spotify, and Player FM, and Podbay, as well as our main site on NewEnglandBroadcasting.com, or you can go to RonVanDam.com. You can lift your toilet bowl lid, and I'm in there. I'm hiding in your bushes as we speak. I'm all over the place. And if you've listened to the show, the major comment I get is, "Did you hear Ron's show? He's all over the place." That's not the way I wanted that phrase used, but nonetheless, okay. Besides not understanding Trump people, I have a problem understanding people that have babies all the time. They came up with something called birth control. I don't know if you're aware of it. And condoms. You don't have to have a baby every time you have an intimate session. You don't have to. I know quite a few people that have a baby every year. And I don't say this to them, but I really should, but I don't, because I don't care that much really about them, but or anybody. But I say, like, how are you going to, like, afford all these children that you're having? You're bringing them into a world that's going to be very, very difficult for you and your family in feeding them, clothing them, supporting them financially, all that kind of good stuff, giving them a foundation of stability. You realize every time you have a baby, you're making that more difficult. Here's one of the responses I get. I keep having babies because I already have the furniture. Okay. Just by that response, you should not be having babies. Now, I know that in this free world, you can have as many babies as you wish, but you better be able to take care of them. This has nothing to do with my guest coming up. because there are some people that actually want to have a family, want to have a baby, but can't because of physical problems in doing so. And we're talking about infertility. And that's the opposite of what I was talking about. I'm just saying, if you have like 5-6 children, there comes a point where either you're really giving of yourself like you have no life anymore, or you're extremely selfish. Like I like babies, and that's all. I just keep having them because I like babies. Okay, fine, whatever. But there are some people that can't have the babies, and they have to go through all kinds of fertility things, especially when you have some type of a medical problem. So you roll all that into one, and I thought this would be a fairly interesting interview today for you. So I did this, and we're going to actually set this up and do this now. Let's speak to our guests.
Hi there.
Hello, everybody.
Hi, Ron.
How are you today? Hello. Hello. With us now, Barbara Caloro joins us. She's president and CEO of Resolve, the National Infertility Association. And Leah Schuster-Beer is joining us as well. Do I have the names correct?
Yes, you do.
Pretty close, though, huh? Not so bad. Okay. Welcome to the program. We're talking about, let's start with the definition of infertility.
Infertility is defined as the inability to get pregnant or carry a pregnancy to term. If you're a woman and you're under the age of 35, and you're trying to conceive for 12 months, you need to see a specialist. If you're a woman over the age of 35, it's only 6 months of trying to conceive, and if it's not working, you need to see a specialist.
Okay. Now, is this a situation in fertility that seems to become more prevalent because we're talking about it more, or perhaps there are reasons why infertility is becoming more of a concern?
Well, right now, 1 in 8 couples of reproductive age suffer from infertility. And your question about is there more of it because we're talking about it more, we don't have really good data on that. Mm-hmm. But you're absolutely right, Ron, in that more people are certainly sharing their story and are being more open about it. It's still very secretive and taboo, but we see more people sharing.
Yeah. Now, I know New York State is a very progressive state, and they're viewing this a little bit interestingly as far as insurance is concerned, I understand.
Well, you know, you're in Massachusetts, which also has phenomenal insurance coverage for infertility, but New York State just recently passed a law that will take effect in January, and it will allow people to access in vitro fertilization, IVF cycles for infertility. And then it's also going to allow people who might be suffering from cancer or another condition to freeze their sperm and egg before their cancer treatment, so they have a future of a family once healthy and ready to build a family.
Okay. Now, Leah, you're involved in this, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me your story.
So I was diagnosed with the rare form of non-Hodgkin's lymphoma last January.
Mm-hmm.
And top of my mind, being 29 at the time, was how to make sure I would secure my fertility so that when treatment would be over, my husband and I could go back to planning a family.
Uh-huh.
I was fortunate to be referred to an oncologist here in the city the day after my treatment plan was secured. And after 10 days of shots, I was able to have to successfully freeze embryos and eggs. And
okay.
So now, 18 months later, being in menopause, knowing that my husband and I have eggs and embryos in the freezer gives us hope that as soon as I'm cleared by my oncologist to start trying to have a family, I could.
Cool. And so far, so good with that, huh?
So far, so good. Yes, I've been in remission since January of this year. So it's going to take about 18 months till I'm cleared to be able to start trying again.
Good.
And so I'm just trying to stay in remission until then.
Wonderful. So this varies state by state, though, I guess. Is that true?
It does. It varies state by state. Massachusetts has had a law in place for over 30 years, one of the older ones. Here we are, New York, just passing this and in place in January. Think about that. Yeah. So it does vary state by state. As of next year, we're only going to have 11 states that have this kind of IVF coverage and even fewer with fertility preservation.
Yeah.
So it varies widely.
Here's an uncomfortable question.
Okay.
Are there religious roadblocks here? Is that part of the reason why other states have not followed suit or even thought about it?
What a great question, Ron. First of all, you know, when you work on state legislation and advocacy, you really need a committed coalition of patients and physicians, nonprofits. In our case, we had pharmaceuticals as well, Faring Pharmaceuticals. And it does happen where in some states there is going to be opposition to this kind of coverage.
Uh-huh.
Also, a lot of opposition from insurance companies.
Uh-huh.
Some of those state laws do have a religious exemption, and in some cases the lobbying by religious organizations can actually prevent our success.
I assume that you have, I wouldn't call them lobby groups necessarily, but you do put pressure upon various legislative branches in order to progressively get this through.
You know, our most effective advocacy are patients and patient voices, so Resolve post-advocacy days. We've done that in a lot of the states where we're actively working and in Washington, and we bring constituents, patients, providers, right to the lawmakers. When they hear those stories and they meet people like Leah and they meet the oncologist and they meet the fertility doctors, they get a very different perspective on this situation and they want to help.
Yeah, that or they want to get reelected. Anyway, whatever.
Well, you can look at this as a women's issue, family building. Hey, we'll take all of it we can get.
Yeah. I mean, I think the only way legislators move is if they have a large volume of comments and then they go, uh-oh, I may not stay in office if I don't do something. Well, that's the way it works, I suppose.
I think because so many people are talking about this, and here's what's really interesting, Ron, when we meet with legislators, oftentimes we're talking to legislators who either have had their own infertility, or maybe a staff person who works for them, or they know someone. So it gets personal very quickly.
It would get personal a lot quicker if this were more out in the open, as much as it is now comparatively to the past. But I think we probably all would know neighbors or et cetera who did this method, but we're not even aware that happened because that's not something that they tell you.
You're absolutely right. I'm sure Leah told her friends and family about her cancer, right?
Yes.
But diagnosed with infertility, now somebody like Leah, who's now going through it and had to preserve her fertility, telling that story, that's what people need to hear.
Right. And it doesn't matter to the child, does it? I mean, like, let's say years, I don't know if one tells their child that was the method. I don't think they tell them what method was used for anything ever, though, when actually come to think of it. I mean, you don't say, yeah, you were conceived, it was the honeymoon, and it was raining outside. I mean, people don't do that.
But I do think that will become more, and I think as the secret, as it becomes less of a secretive, I do think parents will share it with their kids. I mean, you know, it's interesting, my husband and I go back and forth of, you know, God willing that I may get out of menopause, would we try naturally? And we keep going back to, you know, that was such a secure way to preserve our eggs before I started a very potent treatment. So whenever I hear any friend that gets unfortunately diagnosed, which often I do too, and more often than we're talking about, the first thing I ask them is, do you have time to protect that? Do you have time to do a cycle?
I mean, it's actually a demonstration of how much we really wanted you and would go to any lengths to have you in the world with us. I mean, that's like even a greater statement than just, I rolled over one night. Okay, that was not sensitive. Anyway, but it's true. I mean, if a child learned that they were wanted that much, so much effort, and nothing was going to stop them, I would feel wonderful.
Right. Well, you've got a lot of people now in their 20s and teens who were born as a result of IVF, and hoping that they will start raising their voices as well and talking about how important this is.
Well, thank you to the both of you. Where would we go for more information and to participate in possibly pushing this forward?
Yeah, resolve.org is a great place to start. That's our website, and you can find more information there. Again, resolve.org.
Great. Well, thanks to the both of you for being with us and sharing the story. Thank you.
Thanks for having us, Ron.
Take care. Yeah. Bye-bye. Well, there you have it. Thank you so much for joining me today. You know, I don't think I necessarily gave you the lottery number. Did I give you the lottery numbers for today? I don't think I did. Let me do that now. These are the winning lottery numbers. If you have this number, contact your lottery commission. You'd be a big winner. This is Mega Pants. This is the new lottery, Mega Pants. And the slogan is win Mega Pants and win a pant load of cash. And I love the phrase pant load because it is so obviously graphic. There's nothing more obvious than a pant load of something. Agreed? Fine. At least we agree on that. All right, here are the numbers. 2,573. 10,637, 11,592, 29,563, and 36,427. If you have those numbers, you've just won a pant load. Congratulations to you. And congratulations to everybody who listened to the show today. You walk away a better person than when you started listening. Okay, maybe not, but it's one or the other. I'm looking forward to getting a good night's sleep tonight. I have to get up at 2 o'clock in the morning and drive to the airport. I had agreed to drive a loved one to the airport, but I have to do it at 2 o'clock in the morning. I don't know how to prepare for this. I don't know what to do. Should I take a nap? Should I even go to bed? It's like weighing on my, I can't do anything. I can't, because I don't want to be overtired or undertired, or I don't even know what 2 o'clock in the morning looks like. I think it's dark. It's going to be quite a thing. There'll be nobody on the road, and yet the people that are on the road are people that shouldn't be on the road, and I'm one of them. I don't know what to do. I gotta do this. Got to drive to the airport and then drive back. And it's not something I do very well. I don't want this person to take an Uber. Getting in an Uber at 2 o'clock in the morning, I think you're asking for trouble. I don't know why I said that. I don't trust Ubers or Lyft or anything like that. Anything that makes any no sense. Taxi cabs, things. I don't like that. 2 o'clock in the morning is an awful time of the day. It's not, you're just not supposed to be out. The only people that should be out at 2 o'clock in the morning are nobody. That's about it. Nobody should be out. They should stop people who are driving at 2 o'clock in the morning. Excuse me. What are you doing out at 2 o'clock in the morning? I'm on my way home. Oh, yeah? From drinking? Yeah, it's just nothing ever comes good of 2 o'clock in the morning. 3 o'clock in the morning, don't even talk about. Don't even talk about 3 o'clock in the morning. go there. All right. You've been wonderful. Thank you so much for your time today. I always accept your donations directly. Whatever you want. I'm not going to do any crowdfunding because I don't understand what that is. So, never mind. I do understand this is a weekend show, so have yourselves a wonderful weekend. Be very, very careful and pay attention. A lot of stuff's going on around you, both politically and otherwise. Pay attention. You'll be surprised just how weird this place is.